All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. After our sweetheart banquet Friday night, and all of those politicians that were there, somebody handed me paper this morning, and it's got a little story in it. I want to read it to you before I get going here tonight. This is entitled "Notifying the Family." All right, notifying the family. And it said a pastor went to his church office on Monday morning and discovered a dead mule in the church yard. He called the police, and since there did not appear to be any foul play, the police referred the pastor to the health department. So he called the health department, and the health department said that it was not a health threat, and so he ought to call the sanitation department. So the sanitation manager said that he could not pick up the mule without authorization from the mayor. Now, the pastor knew that the mayor was not too eager to hear from him, and he knew that the mayor had a really bad temper and was generally difficult to deal with. But the pastor called him anyway, and the mayor did not disappoint. He immediately began to rant and rave at the pastor and finally said, "Why did you call me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" The preacher paused and then replied, "Yes, Mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first." I like that preacher. That's good, isn't it? Oh, man. That's funny. All right, let's let's look at Matthew 24, and I want to begin reading in verse 42. Verse 42. All right, verse 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now, hold your place right there and just look back at the first part of this chapter. And you will notice in verse 3 that he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So the disciples are hearing from the Lord Jesus that he's coming back to this earth. He told them that he was leaving, going back to heaven, but he said that he would be back again. So they are wanting to know what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And that's when the Lord begins this discourse, this sermon to the disciples. And in verse 42, he says to them, "Watch, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, I want you to look at that little phrase, "for in such an hour," verse 44, "as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. For in such an hour as you think not. I want to speak to you tonight, a message that I'm going to entitle, You Better Get Ready. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on us tonight. I pray that you will help us to get excited about the return of the Lord Jesus in the clouds to take us home to be with him. And Father, I pray that we will not lose sight of this precious promise that our Savior is coming again. I pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our midst tonight and to bless and help us and to understand and to see the day of the Lord is at hand. So help me as I speak tonight, help the folks as they listen, and may we leave here tonight rejoicing in the things of the Lord, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. There are so many things that are happening and have been happening in our world with such rapid pace here lately that it is really difficult to keep up from day to day. There is, as I have been writing to you in the From My Heart column, there is just tons of news that is nothing more than fake news. It is made up stories. You read the news today and you have to scratch your head and wonder, did this really happen or is it really going on? Is this really true? You just cannot believe half of what you read. Now, I think, and just I'm just going to present a little line of thinking tonight. Just lay out a little argument tonight, and so stick with me here until you hear the whole argument, and then you can decide whether you want to get mad or not, all right? But just hear me out, if you will. I think that it was real easy for us as believers who read the Bible and believe the Bible, I think it was real easy for us to imagine how the Lord Jesus could return to rapture the church to heaven during the Islamic capitulation era of Obama. I think it was real easy. Almost every decision that the Obama administration made in the 8 years empowered and enabled the Muslim world. Almost every decision that was made, his refusal to use the words Islamic terrorism for fear that it might anger the Islamic world was a position I never understood. I still don't understand that thinking, but that was his position. In my humble opinion, that was probably the absolute most ignorant argument that I heard in the 8 years that he was in office. And the list of actions which aided and abetted the enemy in the last 8 years is as long as your leg. So when all of this bolstering of Islam was taking place in the last 8 years, and when the borders were wide open and they were streaming into our country, it was real easy for us to see how the Lord could have come back in the clouds and called the redeemed up to meet him, and forever we would be with him in heaven. It was real easy for us to see that and to understand that. Now, it would appear that our nation has, in one day's election, done a complete 180 in that area. We heard on Inauguration Day, President Trump tell the nation and the world that he was going to eradicate Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth. Amen. Now, do you have, folks, do you have any idea how much intestinal fortitude it took for him to say those words sitting 12 feet from Obama and Biden and Bush? Do you have any idea how much intestinal fortitude? Now, I use the word intestinal fortitude, but down in West Virginia, we call that guts. Do you have any idea how much guts it took? And you had the Senate sitting over here, and you had the House sitting over here. And yet, President Trump said, we're going to eradicate Islamic terrorism. Wow. Notice has been sent that the Middle East policy of the United States is dramatically changing. President Trump said that the relationship with Israel was repaired before he even took office.
Amen.
President Obama gave the Palestinian Authority $220 million just a couple of hours before Donald Trump took the oath of office. Folks, you can dig a lot of tunnels under the Israeli border with $220 million. That'll buy a lot of machinery. Obama gave orders for the UN to vote with the rest of the world against Israel and condemn the building of settlements in their own sovereign land. And President Trump has given notice to the world that that declaration from the UN means nothing. Just last week, 500 new housing permits were signed, and the backhoes are already digging footers.
Right.
Now that Donald Trump has become president, there is a big sigh of relief all across this land.
Amen.
Business leaders are excited. Christians are excited because Christians see a president who's going to protect the churches.
Amen.
And liberties and the First Amendment.
Amen.
Folks who still believe in the Constitution feel that we are going to get Supreme Court justices who will strictly follow the Constitution, and that under President Trump, we are done with these socialist Supreme Court nominees who interpret the Constitution to underscore their own liberalism. So you almost get the impression, now listen to me now, here's where I'm turning it. You almost get the impression that folks now think we don't need the Lord to come back now. We have President Trump who's going to fix everything for us. He's going to fix everything that's wrong in America, so we don't need the Lord to come back. We've got President Trump. Now we're going to get Roe versus Wade overturned, and we'll finally stop murdering babies in the womb. And we're going to get good paying jobs and affordable health care, and we're going to destroy ISIS, and we're going to stop the gangs. And I mean, it almost sounds like the millennium is going to be here within the next 8 years. So who would expect, here's my point now, who, look at the verse. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. So, with the golden age here, because we've got a new president who is not like what we had, amen, who would then expect the Lord to come back now? Right? I mean, we're going into the millennium now. Isn't it awesome? So look back at that verse. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I really thought the Lord was coming back in the last 8 years. I believed that. I still believe it. He could come back tonight. But I was just looking so forward to the Lord coming back. I thought, and I preached on it a number of times, I thought that the world was just right where it needed to be, and that trumpet could sound, and the church could be taken to heaven, and with our country under the Islamic spell of Obama, I just thought, wow, this is it. Yet, over and over in this chapter, and in this sermon that the Lord preached to the disciples, he told them, and it's in the Bible, so he told us that we are to be watching. For we do not know what hour the Lord Jesus is coming back. But folks, here's what we do know. We do know he's coming back. Amen. All right? Now that's clear. We just don't know when he's coming back. So I thought, wow, with the stage so set like it is, surely the Lord is going to come back before Obama leaves office. Well, he didn't do it. And now we've got a whole new perspective in the White House. And there is, listen, folks, don't believe all this hype that the media is telling you about Donald Trump. Now, I'm telling you, America is excited. Now, Hollywood's not. But let me ask you a question. Does anybody care? No. So why are we bombarded with it? Because they think they're important. Who cares? I don't care. Do you care what Madonna says?
No.
I don't care. So don't worry about all that. I tell you how to fix it. You ready? Here's how to fix it. Don't watch it.
Amen.
Not that complicated. I don't know how CNN stays on the air anyway. How do they pay their bills? Nobody watches that. How does MSNBC stay on the air? I don't know. Nobody watches that. So don't let all that bother you. Thank God. Thank God that our country has awakened from its apathy and from the condition that we have been in for the last umpteen years. So here's the point. You be ready. I don't know when it is going to happen. I don't know. I do know it's going to happen. But the point is, we're to be ready. Now, two quick things. Number one, let me just remind you of two quick things. Number one, America is not mentioned in biblical prophecy. It is not there. Now, I have tooted this horn many times through the years. But as I read the Bible, I do not see clear teaching anywhere that America is mentioned in prophecy, either in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Now, yes, there is a remnant of the New Testament church in America today. But folks, understand this. The church in America today is only a flickering light of what it once was. Liberalism in the last century invaded our Bible colleges and seminaries. And they sent their product into America's churches, and their liberal theology has destroyed practically every vestige of the New Testament church. Every denomination has been impacted, some of them consumed by that liberalism. You can walk into the average church in America today and sit down and listen and close your eyes, and you might think you're in a disco, but not a church. You might think you're in a honky-tonk, but not a church. You might think you're in a bar somewhere, but not a New Testament church. You walk into the average church today in America, you're not going to hear the Bible. You're not going to hear the Bible. You're going to hear some watered-down perversion of the Bible, maybe. But you're not going to hear the Bible. You will not hear a God-called man stand up and preach a sermon and give an invitation for folks to accept Christ, but you will hear instead some apology for the truth of the gospel. Amen. It used to be in America that the greatest preachers were Presbyterians and were Methodists. And their churches ran thousands all across the country and were in a constant state of revival. Souls were saved, and they ran buses, and before the automobile, they ran horses and trailers and picked up boys and girls and brought them to school, to Sunday school. And they reached their cities and they reached their towns with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not anymore. Today, the emphasis and the focus is upon gay rights. Today, the emphasis is upon LGBTQ rights. You know what the Q means? Question. That's right. That's right. Lesbian, gay, bi, trans, question. And they lump them all into that one group. You'll hear abortion rights. And you will find him marching and protesting and carrying the signs for these issues on Saturday while their churches sit empty on Sunday. Amen. And then there's this emerging church plague that is hitting America. That is an effort to emerge a new church out of this old church where liberalism has destroyed it. And I want you to know, folks, you're not going to hear the truth in these places either. It's not there. There's no gospel. There's no invitation. There's no membership. They try to build their whole ministries around the issue of no confrontation. No confrontation. Whatever. Que sera, sera. It's all good. And sadly, the independent Baptists have watched these emerging churches all across America and are now copying them and using their methods. Some of you have come to me in the last year and you've said, Pastor, I noticed so-and-so is not at the Sword Conference anymore. Yeah, that's right. Well, what's going on? This is what's going on. Copying the emerging church. That's what's going on. Bringing in their music, bringing in their methods, and trying to build the New Testament church with worldly motives. The point is, folks, all over the country, the entity which made America great, the entity which made America so strong, its Bible-believing churches, have been destroyed by liberalism, by compromise, and by worldliness. The remnant of the New Testament church is now being destroyed. And that grieves my soul. And it's shrinking at an unbelievable rate. True New Testament churches are dying of one thing. You know what it is? Lack of soul winning. That's it. Calvinism is creeping into our Bible colleges, and then it's creeping into our churches, and it's killing them. Killing churches. The desire to be liked, the desire to be accepted, the desire not to be seen as a racist or a homophobic or xenophobic has most independent Baptist churches in America scared to death to take a stand in their community. And the truth is, today, very few believers in professing Christianity are even looking for Christ to return. The truth is, most churches do not even believe that the Lord is coming back anymore. They don't read the Bible. The pastor never preaches on the subject because he was taught in seminary that the doctrine of the second coming is not true. I remind you, folks, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I called a friend of mine that I have confidence in, been in the ministry for a long time, and I said, I want to ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, do you think that the majority, I said, just the majority of professing Christianity is expecting the Lord to return any day? He said, well, I don't even have to think about that. No, I don't. I said, why is that? He said, because most of the preachers don't even believe that the Lord is coming back at any minute. And I said, you really think that? He said, I really do. And you know what? I do too. I do too. Several months ago, I had a young pastor call me. He is pastoring a church, his first church. He's a year and a half out of Bible college. Year and a half. And if I told you where he went to Bible college, every one of you would know the name of it. And he said, Brother Belcher, could you help me? I said, I'll try. He said, I am confused about the second coming of Christ. Can you help me with that? And I said, well, yes, I can help you with that. And I spent about 30 minutes taking him through what the Bible teaches about the second coming. He would stop me every little bit and ask a question. And finally, I said to him, son, did you not learn this in Bible college? And he said, well, if they taught it, I don't remember it ever being discussed. Now, that's sad. I mean, if there is that much biblical ignorance in our professing or in the professing church, you can be assured the world has no idea of the truth that Jesus is coming again. If the church doesn't know it, how in the world do you think the world is going to know it? And I wonder if the trumpet sounded tonight and if the true believers were suddenly taken to heaven and millions of believers were gone, what would those that remain think just happened? Huh? What do you think the headlines in the paper would be tomorrow? Would the missing millions be attributed to the Lord Jesus coming to rapture the saints of God to heaven? Do you think tomorrow the New York Times headline would read, "Millions missing as Bible promise of the rapture happens"? I don't. Probably on page 12, down at the bottom, there might be a little story where some theologians think, oh, God help us. They're thinking again. I think they would blame the missing on a zombie apocalypse. You know, the highest rated show, those zombies, what's it called? Killing something. The Walking Dead. There it is. That's John right there. Yes. We all thought that. Nobody just wanted to say it. Glad you did. Global warming crisis strikes doubters. Alien abduction of fundamental Christians around the world. You see, our world is completely biblically ignorant of what God tells us in His Word is going to happen. And I would not be surprised if the Lord would return soon. I don't think anybody has a clue. So many of God's people today are just so relieved to have a constitutionalist in the White House, and I am too. Most of the world, especially Christians, are just so thrilled to be rid of the progressive liberal agenda, and a lot of Christians are now thinking that President Trump is going to be America's savior. But folks, our country is so philosophically divided, and this anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-American progressive liberal way of thinking is not going to just roll over and play dead. And I think should the rapture happen tonight, man, I don't think America would last but a few days, if that. Let me remind you that James Dobson said he led Donald Trump to the Lord. Now, did he? I don't know. He said he did. And let me remind you that Paula White said she led Trump to the Lord. Did she? I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's twice now. And then let me remind you that Franklin Graham said that he won Donald Trump to Christ. Now, if I'm reading my Bible right, you only have to get led to Christ once. I'm just saying. So let's suppose that Donald Trump is now a saved man. When that trumpet sounds, what happens to him? Now, I have read Mike Pence's testimony. And I want you to know, I believe with all my heart, that man knows the Lord is his Savior. Amen. Now, should the trumpet sound and the rapture take place, what happens to Mike Pence? Yeah, he goes with us, right? All right? Now, if President Trump goes, and remember now, he got saved three times, so surely one of them took. Right? One of them took, come on. So if President Trump goes, and then And then Vice President Pence goes, then that leaves Paul Ryan. But wait a minute now. That's going to leave a big hole at the top. And I just wonder what would happen to America. I wonder, you know, you turn on the TV at 4 o'clock and Neil Cavuto is just elated. He's just so excited. Why? Because the stock market's high. He's making money. What's going to happen should the Lord come back and millions are missing and the president's gone, the vice president's gone? Remember, Trump's got saved 3 times. Remember that now. I'm working on a hypothesis here. One of the three had to take, surely. What do you think is going to happen to that stock market? I'm just saying, folks, we're sitting here thinking, oh boy, we're going into the millennium now. But in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know what you and I are supposed to do? We are supposed to live every day of our Christian life as if this could be the day He comes back. Amen. And notice that my text was spoken to believers. Look at your Bible. Look at it. In such an hour as believers think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see, when we least expect Him to come. And folks, right now, I can tell you that a lot of God's people are thinking that the Lord is giving America a second chance. I hope He is. But I tell you, I also hope that He's not, because I want Him to come and get us. But if the Lord tarries, and if our nation can survive the next 4 years, I'm going to tell you, it'll be a miracle. These evil-hearted liberals will destroy the country before they will allow President Trump to execute the agenda that he campaigned on. They will destroy the country before they will let him carry out his agenda. They hate America, and they hate the rule of law. It is what they are inside. They hate the Constitution, and they see America as a nation of laws under God as the problem in the world today. But with this election, half the country voted for Trump, and they're thinking, wow, now we finally get our country back. Well, I'm afraid it's not going to be that easy. We're on the verge of a new civil war in America. Now, we really are, folks. Last week, a prominent Black Lives Matter spokesman said, and I quote, "It is time to start killing people." Now, did you hear that on CNN? Nope. Did you hear that on Fox? Nope. But he said it. It is time to start killing people. And brethren, you mark my word, it's not long before somebody's going to get killed. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, we're not long. It's going to happen. And that's what you get when progressives run the show. I'll guarantee you things are going to get real ugly in the next few months. And even uglier if the Lord tarries His coming. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, real quickly, Look at all the promises and the caveats in this message. Look at all the promises and the caveats. Start in verse 1. Look at it. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That was fulfilled in 70 A.D. In 70 A.D., just a few years later, that was fulfilled. One generation, 40 years later, that was fulfilled. And then they said, tell us, middle of verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so, in answer to the question, the Lord Jesus spoke this sermon. And notice the promises that he gave. He outlined his plan for the end of the world. Look at verse 33. He said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Well, folks, what things? The things in verse 4 through verse 32. And we are seeing those things right now. These are signs of the times, and we're seeing them now. So he said, here's the promise, and here's the caveats. He said, when you see these things, know that it, the return, the Lord is near, even at the doors. Look at verse 34. He said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? The generation that is alive and sees these signs. That's us. That's us. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, Jesus is coming again. Look at verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch, Christian. You don't know when he's coming, but realize he's coming. Keep your eyes open. Be ready. He's coming back. Look at verse 44. Be ready, because he's coming again. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Look at 25:13, same sermon, just another chapter. In verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So watch, watch, watch. Be ready, be ready, be ready. You don't know when he's coming, but know this, he's coming. Amen. I don't know when the Lord is coming to take us to heaven, but I know he's coming, and it could be today. But if he doesn't come today, then look for him tomorrow. But folks, doesn't it stir your heart where he said in verse 44, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh? Could we be right here tonight in such a time in our nation where we have this blind hope for America to be salvaged, and we are not paying attention to the blessed hope of our Lord's return? Folks, listen to me. President Trump is not going to convince the progressives to side with him. He is not going to convince Hollywood to join up in his cause. He's not going to do it. You say, well, Pastor, what's the answer? We got revival. That'd be one answer. You know, I'd like to see Ashley Judd get saved. I'd like to see Madonna get saved. I'll baptize any of them that get saved. And I'll definitely take their tithe checks. Oh, I got some things I'd like to do. The church, I mean, you know. I'd love to, I mean, probably one tithe check. You build a new auditorium, we could go to one service on Sunday morning, big enough to hold us all. Amen. Y'all are killing me. Oh, revival. Return. What's our answer? Revival, return, or wait for it. I hate to say this, but ruin. And remember, I don't see America in prophecy anywhere. But I'm telling you, folks, our country's in trouble. And it's in trouble because of one word, S-I-N, sin. You better pray for your country. You better pray for that man that was just elected president.
That's right.
You better pray for him.
Amen.
Saved people all over this nation. I'm afraid they're looking to Trump as the Savior. Well, folks, Donald Trump is not your Savior. Jesus is.
Amen.
And Jesus is coming again. Now, there ain't anybody in this building any more happier than I was on election night. I'm thankful Trump won. I am doubly thankful Clinton lost. And I will applaud every action he takes to defeat liberalism and support America and all that America has stood for through the centuries. But I want you to know my faith is not in Trump. My faith is in the Lord Jesus. And in the same sermon, only Luke's account of that sermon, in Luke 21:28, Luke said this, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh."
Amen.
I don't think it's going to be as long as it has been. I hope the Lord comes back soon. But if he doesn't, we got to stay with it. We got to stay faithful. We got to stay right. We got to stay in the book. And just keep watching and waiting for his return. So you better get ready. You better get ready. Jesus is coming again.